We'll start with the first case. That's number 21-1805, Veritron Ventures against Google LLC. Okay, Mr. Mora, proceed and cover. Take whatever time it takes to cover the background and whatever is common to these three cases.
Okay. May it please the court, good morning. My name is Denise DeMori from Bunso DeMori, and I'm here on behalf of Veritron Ventures. I want to start out by saying that although I could not be with you today because of the 14-day COVID test rule, I appreciate your accommodation of my ability to be there last week. And fortunately, my client representative is actually there, and the inventor of multiple patents, Don Hina, is in the courtroom with you today. So first, in accordance with the court's claim order that was issued a couple weeks ago, I'm going to start with some claim construction issues and sort of some common background to the patents in suit. I'm going to start with timescale modification. I'm going to move then to presentation rate and then talk about media work. So first, let's talk about timescale modification. So we'll start first with the 228 patent, which is the case that was called first. And this patent is entitled Method and Apparatus for Controlling Timescale Modification During Multimedia Broadcasts. And in particular, it begins by introducing the concept that the timescale modification applies to audio and audiovisual works. And throughout the entire 228 patent, you're always talking about at least audio and perhaps additionally video. And that's important because an audio stream in this context, we're talking about how one of ordinary skill in the art would understand timescale modification. In this case, we're talking about an audio stream, which is like a constant stream of information, and it's been digitized by sampling portions of it. And then the TSM presents known methods of being able to modify this digital samples so that the perceived articulation rate of the passages can be modified dynamically. And that's at column 5, lines 3 through 14. The entire specification describes, when TSM is described, we're talking about audio only. We're talking about modifying the stream. We're talking about modifying samples in a buffer. And when we get to the video portion, we're talking about something different. So audio portions have a particular duration, and video frames have no duration. They're just a series of images that can be flashed on the screen, and they're subsampled, skipped, or replicated. And the 228 patent is about making sure that a user understands a public service announcement, for example. So it is about controlling the rate at which information is presented to the user, so for understandability. That is the key aspect of the 228 patent. So when we talk about the 228 patent, the board obviously interpreted timescale modification in an extremely broad manner to be just the speeding up and slowing down of information. So I think the easiest place to start actually is in the prosecution history of the 228 patent. So we're looking at the intrinsic record of what happened during the prosecution of the 228 patent. And we have in the intrinsic record a very specific description that says, timescale modification is completely different from merely speeding up the playback rate of a signal, for example, by subsampling. As is well known, merely speeding up a playback rate of a signal causes local pitch periods to be shortened. As is further well known, the shortening of local pitch periods increases frequency.
Ms. DeMore, where are you in the prosecution history right now?
I am in the prosecution history for the 228 patent, and it's appendix pages 1238 and 39.
1238, 1239. And
correct.
Is this an office action response, or what is this?
This is part of the appeal.
The appeal brief to the board?
Correct.
Okay. Was this in the summary of the invention section?
Is this portion the summary of the invention portion? I do not believe so. I believe this is part of
Yeah, it is in the summary of the invention section. This is not the portion of the appeal brief where you are distinguishing your claims over the cited prior art in the context of the various 103 rejections.
Sure, but we're talking in this context, we're here to construe timescale modification as what one of ordinary skill in the art would have understood it to mean. So it is not Drenton's position that this is a disclaimer. This is a description of timescale modification that is completely consistent with the entire intrinsic record, Google's admissions, and all of the extrinsic record that has been put before this court.
Well, when I look through your patent specification, and we're talking about the 228, I don't see anything in the spec that refers to timescale modification as preserving intelligibility or pitch. I see so, the passages that I believe the board relied on, which you know you're familiar with, columns 3, columns 5, etc., about slowing down playback rate, speeding up playback rate, and you know, to the extent that there's any evidence outside of the 228 spec that you're relying on for a particular type of TSM, I believe the board just simply concluded, well, there's different types of TSM where you could preserve pitch and intelligibility, but those aren't necessary to every single version of TSM. And the baseline TSM understanding is something that speeds up or slows down playback rate. And then there can be additional features if you want, like preserving pitch and intelligibility. Could you comment about that?
Sure. The claim construction starts with what one of ordinary skill in the art understands this to mean. I understand that that was the board's position on timescale modification. But there's no evidence of any TSM system that is just slowing up and speeding down in the record. So everything in the record is quite the opposite. So when we start with 228 itself, we talk about perceived articulation rate of passages. The 228 patent also incorporates by reference the 769 patent. And it says, here's one way of doing TSM, and here's the background information, certainly. But when you go to the 769 patent, which is instructive, not controlling, but instructive as to claim construction under recent Federal Circuit law, it says it has multiple examples, which we discussed in our briefing, that describe timescale modification as something that preserves pitch and intelligibility. And so everything is consistent. Perceived articulation rate is consistent with that. And in particular,
what about JA2248? Where Verentum's predecessor stated, quote, it proposed a clear definition drawn directly from the 769 patent specification of the term timescale modification refer only to speeding up or slowing down playback rate of a signal.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So that a lawyer for a predecessor in interest in an interlocutory, in a hearing, made that statement about a claim that had limitations directed to an improved SOLA method. So if you look at the claim of the 769 patent, it actually has take a window of samples, create the samples, overlap them. So the method that is actually claimed in the 228 patent by itself, without the preamble, which is where timescale modification appeared in that claim, preserves pitch. That's the method that is actually claimed. So there was a lawyer there, and we've said this in our motion for reconsideration, who said that particular statement without question. It was a very, it was a strategic decision, I suppose, because the claims covered timescale modification. I think it was wrong. The claim limitations themselves already covered preserving pitch. I think it was wrong, and I think Judge Tiger understood it to be wrong as well. And when he actually did his actual claim construction order, the concern was really that Apple was not that they weren't practicing the limitations, but that there was a non-infringement defense that they were going to say that it didn't perfectly preserve pitch. And so when you look at what he actually said in his claim construction order, he construed the claim and he included that language, and then he went on to say, I'm not going to include without preserving pitch because that would require an absolute preservation of pitch, and the claims don't require an absolute preservation of pitch. And that was omitted both from the district court's order in this case and in addition from the board's discussion, and I'll pull up the record site for that just one moment. So that is in the court's claim construction order in the EPL case, and that is at APX 2267 and 68. So that claim construction was not that if you read the transcript, and if you read more fulsomely in our motion for reconsideration, which is at 67 and 68, the reason for that was because they were concerned about this overly technical non-infringement argument. Counsel argued against limiting the preamble with that definition because the claim limitations already had the preserving pitch in it. It was a natural consequence of the claim limitations. Judge Tiger understood that. He said it's not absolutely preserving pitch. He did not say that the method did not preserve pitch or that timescale modification did not preserve pitch. He just didn't want to add that particular limitation because he was afraid it gave rise to a non-infringement argument. And beside that, in addition to that, what that lawyer said, I mean, we're here to construe the claims as a matter of law. A lawyer representing a prior entity said that in a hearing. It was wrong. It's inconsistent with the 769 specification. It is inconsistent with perceived articulation rate. It is inconsistent with Google's own description and admissions. Well,
doesn't the 769 patent at JA 2898, column 1, lines 6 to 8, say, you know, the present invention relates to a method for timescale modification, TSM, i.e., changing the rate of reproduction of a signal?
Right, so rate of reproduction is an interesting, I mean, so it doesn't preclude anything I'm saying. So that's sort of the introductory thing, certainly. It changes the rate of reproduction. But then it goes on immediately after that in 769 to say, this is concerned with audio samples and perceiving pitch. So certainly the 769 patent begins that way. And then immediately thereafter, just 1 second. So if we turn to 769, if we turn to the 769 patent, it does begin by saying the quote that you said. And then it goes on to say, a need exists for a method of timescale modification of acoustic signals such as speed or music, in particular, a method which provides timescale modification without modifying pitch or without modifying signals. Then it goes on to...
Where are you? I don't know where you are.
I'm sorry. I'm in column 1, line 15. And it goes on to describe, then at line 26, specifically timescale modification of a signal by timescale compression, speeding up playback.
I.e. a method for speeding up a playback rate of the signal, or by timescale expansion, i.e. a method for slowing down the playback rate of a signal. So,
right.
I mean, basically everything I'm seeing here in column 1 is the idea of there's a baseline understanding of what timescale modification is, i.e. slowing up or speeding up the playback rate. And then what this patent wants to do is it wants to improve that baseline TSM by trying to figure out a way to, do it without an accompanying change in local periodicity.
Well, if we go down to column 1, starting at line 64, several methods have been developed in the prior art to provide TSM. Previously, TSM accomplished by three different methods, frequency domain processing, etc. All of these methods have drawbacks, but and then it goes on to list all of these methods. And all of these methods, as described in the Bonsalet Declaration that we went through, are methods that the baseline notion is to preserve pitch and intelligibility. So sure, there are prior methods of speeding up and slowing down. There's also fast forward. Just straight up fast forward. Just play it faster. But in the 769 patent, all of these prior art methods have to do with preserving pitch and periodicity, which is what pitch refers to. And we can go, I think there's another place to go that deals with this directly, which is if we go to the 433 patent, I think it makes it abundantly clear. So if we turn to the 433 patent and we look at column 162 through line 10.
Which patent is the 433 patent? Is that one of your other appeals, right?
So I'm trying to discuss the claim construction issues common to all of them. And TSM is a term that is common to all of them.
I know, but you're jumping to a different patent spec. Is this 433 patent spec somehow incorporated into the patent spec here of the 228?
It is not incorporated, and I think the point here is that a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand TSM consistent with these specifications. And this is another example, a contemporaneous example of timescale modification described in a patent, and it's just generically describing timescale modification.
Counsel, am I correct that the 433 patent does not even recite, that the claims do not recite timescale modification?
The claims do not recite timescale modification, that is correct. The entire patent is directed to something called listener-directed timescale modification. So when we look at the 433 patent...
But your arguments address timescale modification as if it is a recited term. So it seems to me you're bringing in something outside of the patent into the claims. In this case, just timescale modification, whether that's correct or not, it's not even in the claims.
So it is our position, as you are correctly stating, that timescale modification, it is like every other case with a, if we had accused a text-only system of infringing the 433 patent, we would have defendants saying, this patent is directed to timescale modification. Every figure, every structure that is in here is described as timescale modification. The background is listener-directed timescale modification. That is how the patent begins. And it begins by saying, this patent is about listener-directed timescale modification. And it is about creating a data structure that captures information about how people perceive that use timescale modification to actually, we can tell what people understood, didn't understand, whether they liked something or they didn't like something. And in that context, it says specifically that timescale modification is used to be presented intelligently at increased rates, and that you can comprehend while fast forwarding. This is TSM. It's the articulation rate, and that is column 1, 21 through 42. And it's what the entire patent's about. And critically, in the 433 patent, it contrasts timescale modification with fast forward.
I'm getting lost. Are you arguing your second appeal right now as to the 433 patent, or are we still talking about your first appeal, which is about the 228 patent?
So I understood from the court's order that in this first session I was to talk about the common claim construction issues between the patents. So one critical and common term between them is timescale modification. That is an issue in all of the appeals. And so that's what I was
talking about. Okay, all right. But just so I'm clear, below, in front of the patent board, in the IPR of the 228 patent, you weren't arguing you weren't relying on the specification of the 433 patent as evidence of how to understand timescale modification as that claim term was used in the 228 patent. Is that fair to say?
I believe that's fair to say, although the board did rely on the 433 patent for some other things because the board imported skip from the 433 patent. So the entire skip issue came from the 433 patent. They imported it here. So the board did look across and did cross-site across these appeals.
Okay. And to the extent we're now talking about timescale modification in the context of the IPR for the 433 patent, we only get to that question if we construe a different term to presentation rate to include timescale modification. Is that right?
Sure. That is correct.
And the board concluded that presentation rate, as that term is used in the 433 patent, is not limited to timescale modification.
That is correct as well.
Okay. So if we agree with that, then we don't have to wrestle over the meaning of time.
Well, I think timescale modification means the same thing across all the patents, and it means that it's meant the same thing since the mid-80s. It meant the same thing in the inventor's thesis from 1990. It meant the same thing in the 769 patent. It means the same thing when you say perceived articulation rate. It means the same thing in the 433 patent when you say that it's about understandability and intelligibility and preserving and contrasting that with fast forward where you can't understand it. And frankly, Google understood it exactly that way when it, in its invalidity contentions, and those invalidity contentions are, again, this is the same thing. This is, what does one of ordinary skill in the art understand timescale modification to mean? And in the context of those invalidity contentions, they were not saying Verentum interpreted the claims this way, we're reading it this way because Verentum, you know, because we looked at their infringement contentions and they're saying timescale modification. And now I am in the record at Appendix 1934 and 35. And this is, it begins by saying certain claims in the 903 family recite timescale modification that modifies the playback rate of audio while also modifying the audio to avoid changing the pitch. For example, reducing the chipmunk effect. TSM was well known at the time of the alleged invention. Badcam Car, one of the references they rely on, for example, teaches the modification that techniques that modify audio or audio visual to change the display rate, speeding up or slowing down with reduced artifacts or distortion. And then Covell, which they argue here, takes us out of timescale modification, but they specifically said in the district court case, facilitates high rate of compression while maintaining the intelligibility of the resulting sounds.
In their Markman brief, did they make these same arguments about what TSM means?
No, they argued based on the EPL case, on the prior statement of prior counsel in another case, even though their statements are unequivocally clear. And I'm not
saying their Markman brief where they had to urge a particular conception of what this claim term means, they didn't include the ideas of intelligibility and pitch.
They did not. But okay. Clearly when they made a strategy decision not to do that. But as to how a person of ordinary skill in the art would understand it, when they read Badcam Car, when they read Covell, when they read the 885 patent, Google described it clearly. It's perfectly consistent with perceived articulation rate. It's consistent with the 769. It's consistent with the way Judge Tiger understood the patent. And it is consistent with the entire intrinsic record. And I see I'm just about at 25 minutes, so I will stop here unless anyone has any questions.
Okay, we'll hear from the other side. We'll save your rebuttal time. Thank you. Mr. Modi.
May it please the court. As an initial matter, the intrinsic record rejects the notion that timescale modification should be read into any claims that do not recite timescale modification through the presentation rate term. The 228 patent provides a very clear definition of presentation rate. At Appendix 182, column 42, lines 37 to 43, it recites presentation rate, parentheses, i.e., a rate of presentation of information. If we look to the 433 patent, it similarly has a definition section, and in that definition section, at Appendix 90 of the 1934 appeal, it defines presentation rate, and it defines it as a rate at which a media work is presented. Now, Verentem argues that TSM is a term that's repeatedly discussed in its specification, but that's a fundamentally different situation than what was in play in the GPNE and Vernetics cases, where a particular term was repeatedly described in a particular way. Here, presentation rate is not repeatedly described as requiring timescale modification. To the contrary, it's actually defined in a manner that does not require timescale modification. In any event, however, when timescale modification is construed for the claims that do recite it, the intrinsic record consistently defines timescale modification as simply broadly requiring speeding up or slowing down the playback rate of content. And I think the 769 patent is pretty instructive here. And I'll note the 769 patent is actually incorporated by reference by both the 228 and the 433 patent. And I think that at Appendix 2900, column 6, lines 47 to 53, it's pretty indicative of the dispute between Google and Verentem. There, the 769 patent indicates that the present invention relates to a method for timescale modification, i.e., changing the rate of reproduction of a signal. So that's where timescale modification is defined. And then it goes on to describe the invention of the 769 patent, which was a method for timescale modification of a sampled signal by time domain processing the sampled signal to provide reproduction of the signal at a wide variety of rates without an accompanying change in pitch. So the notion that you somehow perform this improved method of timescale modification that doesn't involve a change in pitch, that was the purported invention of the 769 patent, which is a patent that's not challenged in any of these IPRs. I also think EPL's, Verentem's predecessor's statements were clear. They stated, quote, that the 769 patent very clearly uses the term timescale modification to refer only to the speeding up or slowing down of the playback of a signal. That's at Appendix 2248. I also think it's important for the court to realize that the 228 patent itself at Appendix 182, column 42, lines 36 to 48, to the extent there is any doubt, maybe sometimes timescale modification is referred to in this narrower manner that Verentem alleges, the 228 patent indicates that a TSM rate, a timescale modification rate, should be understood to include, quote, any type of presentation rate, and that this term should, quote, be understood as being used in the broadest sense.
Counselor, apart from the prior art, COBOL, is there any other prior art that explains that timescale modification is limited to pitching and intelligibility?
Well, I would suggest, Your Honor, that Covell actually says that timescale modification is not limited to pitch and intelligibility.
Correct. That's what I meant to say. So is there any other private art reference that...
Sure, Your Honor, there is. For example, at Appendix 3126, this is a publication that Verentem actually cites, it indicates that ideally timescale modification preserves properties like pitch and timber. I also think it's noteworthy that at Appendix 2635, which is paragraph 18 of Dr. Bonsalay, Verentem expert's declaration, he also indicated that if timescale modification is done well, the viewer can speed up or slow down the work and still understand and digest its content. Well, that means that if it's not done well, it's still timescale modification, and a user might not understand its content. It's also noteworthy that Verentem's construction is really insolubly ambiguous. They don't say that it maintains pitch and intelligibility. They say it substantially maintains pitch and intelligibility. And when we asked Dr. Bonsalay what that meant, he said it's the sort of thing that's in the eye of the beholder, that reasonable people can disagree about certain scenarios. Something might be timescale modification to one person and not to another. With respect to the motion for reconsideration that Verentum points to, I'll note, for one, that's not an argument Verentum even made below to the board. They only cited that to indicate, to inform the board that it's not a resolved issue at
what
the district court.
What motion for reconsideration?
So Verentum points to its own motion for reconsideration it filed with the district court. And in that motion, they had quotations from Google's preliminary invalidity contentions. And so that's the paper when they're talking about Google's statements and invalidity contentions, they're actually quoting from their motion for reconsideration that was filed with the district court. They didn't actually argue that Google made any admissions to the board. That's a new argument they're making on appeal. And I'll just note, I think the court's aware of this, but all of those filings were made before claim construction was done. Google made absolutely clear it was making those statements because it didn't know what Verentum was going to argue, but it appeared pretty clear that Verentum intended to argue timescale modification in the manner that it does now and that it did at district court. Unless your court has any further questions, I'm happy to return the remainder of my time to the court.
Prosecution history?
Sure, Your Honor.
Just a quick one.
Okay.
So with respect to the prosecution history, I think really two things are key here. For one, Verentum does not even allege that there was a disclaimer. It conceded in its gray brief at page 8 that there was no disclaimer, and it's not arguing disclaimer. For another, as Your Honor pointed out, the statement was in fact made in the summary of the invention not to distinguish over any prior art. It was really just a gratuitous statement Verentum included in there. The examiner, we have no idea if the examiner gave it any weight. And here, the intrinsic evidence in any event, the specification, the definition in the 769 patent, the statement in the 228 patent that timescale modification should be understood in its broadest possible sense, all of that outweighs any possible weight that the statement, the two sentences in the prosecution should be given.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll hear rebuttal. Just wait a moment while we move the equipment. Okay, thank you. May proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. First, I want to start with the statement that Covell somehow is inconsistent with the notion that timescale modification requires reserving pitch. I must point out on the record that we are crediting a statement made at a claim construction argument on another patent as controlling the meaning of timescale modification in this proceeding. And that's what is being argued by Google. And in this case, we have a statement from Google, unprompted by Verentum, completely, describing the Covell reference in the underlying litigation. And Google itself describes the Covell reference as being part of well-known TSM technology. So it says, TSM was well-known at the time of the alleged invention. And then it lists two examples, Badcam Carr and Covell. And it says, unprompted by anything Verentum said, because we surely didn't rely on Covell for anything, it says that Covell discloses facilitating high rates of compression and or expansion while maintaining the intelligibility of resulting sounds using an improved SOLA technique which uses timescale modification non-uniformly to individual audiophones by accounting for the overall pattern of speech to provide a more intelligible signal upon playback even at high play modification rates. And then it goes on to say, the Badcam Carr and Covell patents were assigned to Interval Research Corporation. Additional Interval Research patents publications provide further details regarding the development of advanced TFM in both audio and video, including, and it goes on. And so this is Google saying TSM was well known. And this is Google saying that TSM is modifying it to avoid the chipmunk effect. And the first paragraph describes the 903 patent. And as we've pointed out, the 903 patent doesn't even have timescale modification in the claims. And then it goes on to say that the 885 patent, which is another patent in the underlying litigation, makes this absolutely clear as well. And this is Google's statements about what timescale modification means. It's not in the context of what are responding to our infringement contentions. This is just Google voluntarily saying, hey, here's some examples of timescale modification. It was completely well known. It means exactly what Verentum is asking you to construe it now. And that's what happened. But in contrast to that, the claim, something that prior counsel for not this entity said about a non-related patent, albeit incorporated by reference, is going to control And in addition to that, when we look at Covell itself, it's talking about time scale modification at a uniform rate. And it says, when you play, so it's not perfect because it is still trying to preserve pitch, but it says when you play it fast or when you play it slow, then that the doing it at a uniform rate results in, it doesn't say chipmunking, it says squeaky and more basal. So it still attempts to preserve the intelligibility. It's just that if you do time scale modification at a uniform rate, it's not as good as if you do it at a non-uniform rate, which is what Covell describes in the claims. But nowhere in Covell does it say you don't try to preserve pitch or intelligibility. And nowhere does it say that. And Google itself acknowledged in the context of this litigation that that's what it means. It's a well-known term at the time of the alleged inventions. And it was talking about all of the patents that are issued here, which is exactly Verentum's point. It was a well-known term, and it meant precisely what Verentum is arguing that it means. And that is appendix, this is Google's admissions at appendix 1934 and 1935. In addition to that, well, let's just move to, I'll say that a bit. I mean, if we go back even to the inventor's 1990 thesis, and it's just a description of timescale modification, you know, this is supposedly some litigation, you know, induced definition. But we go back to the 1990 thesis and every other thing that is in Dr. Bonsalet's declaration. And what we're here to do is what, if this is not a term that is generally known. And the fact that you speed up and slow down, of course you speed up and slow down. But you do it in a way that is different than fast-forwarding, which is exactly what the 433 patent says. You do it to preserve intelligibility. And so if we go back to the inventor's thesis, which is in the 805 appeal, it is excerpts 2951 and 2962, he says, refers to processing performed on speech signals that changes the perceived rate of articulation without affecting the pitch or intelligibility of speech. It's just a general definition. It is what timescale modification means. And it's not by any litigation. It's not by anything. It's just a general definition. And every definition, including the ones that Google gave, and its invalidity contentions, not responding to Verentum, is consistent with that. And the fact that the patents also say, describe it as speeding up and slowing down, that is also not inconsistent. And that's presentation rate. But when they talk about every single one of them, when they talk about timescale modification, they always say at a minimum perceived articulation rate up to the 433, which says preserve pitch and intelligibility, and I am different than fast forward, which you cannot understand pitch and intelligibility. So I think I'm counting up, so I reached the end of my time.
Any more questions as to this case? All right, thank you. Well, this case is taken under submission.